Welcome to the Growth Elevated Leadership Podcast with Julian Castelli. Each week, we talk with senior tech leaders to explore stories and insights about the challenges involved with growing technology companies. We hope that these stories can help you become a better leader and help you navigate your own growth journey.
Today, we are really excited to have Scott Beck with us from CHG Healthcare. Scott is a tremendous executive and has done an incredible job building a company with one of the best cultures and has been rated as one of the Fortune best places to work for many years. And we are so fortunate to have Scott join us this morning to talk about his leadership experience and how he has made CHG such a successful company. Welcome, Scott.
Hi. Well, thanks, Julian. It's great to be here with you. Excited to engage in this conversation.
Well, I think we have a lot to learn from you, and I'm excited about hearing your story. Well, now, Scott, I was doing some research. Your dad was a doctor, as was mine.
So yeah.
Did you go on rounds with him at the hospital in your youth?
That's how the whole thing kind of started. I left home in 1985 with the thought that I was going to go become a doctor. And kind of ironically, I'm in the doctor business, but instead of caring for a few hundred patients, I'm working with several thousand physicians providing healthcare to millions of people that need it, which is really cool through our company.
That is such an awesome story. I remember going on rounds with my father, and the hospital was the workplace. And so
you
initially had your interest in healthcare, but you're a business guy. You went to school for business, right?
Yeah, I really thought I was going to be a doctor, and then I started taking some marketing and some business classes. Kind of got more excited about business. And for me, this opportunity here at CHG is really the intersection of an interest in medicine, curiosity about marketing, and a passion for entrepreneurship. And it's really the intersection of the three of those things. And, as I mentioned to you the other day, I've been here now for 24 years, which is kind of amazing,
Absolutely. Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about CHG. I know what it is, but just in your own words, who do you serve and what do you guys do every day?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Interestingly, Julian, the company was founded here in Salt Lake City by a physician at the University of Utah. Got a federal grant to provide physician services on a Native American reservation here in the American West that couldn't attract and retain the right complement of physicians to take care of people in the community. So it was kind of a one-time contract, but that was the spark that started the commercial business. So today, we're the largest and the strongest physician recruiting and staffing company in the United States and in the world. We help physician groups and hospitals with full-time permanent placement when they're searching for doctors to build their permanent staff. But the biggest part of the business that we operate today is we bring people in temporarily, kind of like a substitute teacher. When they need a cardiologist because somebody has stepped away from the practice, they either retired, left the practice, the practice is expanding. So we help provide that flexible, temporary, physician services and patient care to complement the rest of the group.
Fantastic. And you've been there 24 years. Give us a sense of the growth journey you've been on. I know you've grown that business multifold.
Yeah. It's really been a fun journey. When I started here, I originally joined the company to help with a new technology initiative, to start kind of a new internet-based division, sort of a jobs.com of healthcare 24 years ago before, jobs.com in healthcare was even a thing. And then I transitioned into marketing and then joined the team to help run the business. Back when I joined, we had about 175 employees and $120 million in revenue. And we've grown mostly organically over the last 24 years. A few acquisitions along the way to get us into new markets that were fairly small. And then we purchased some technology capabilities more recently. But excited to report that, we've grown a lot over the 24 years. We'll do about $3 billion in top line revenue this year. And we have 4,000 employees in the CHG family, which is pretty exciting.
I can't even do the math. From 120 million to 3 billion. 175 employees to several thousand. So you've gone through several stages of growth here.
Yeah, we certainly have. And it's been a ton of fun. Honestly, when I joined here, I never had a thought that I'd be here 24 years later, but I found a place where where I really loved the work because of my passion for medicine and marketing and entrepreneurship. And I found myself working for a team of leaders that were really good at building and developing culture, you know, which is, I mean, I know we both went to business school. Back when we were in school, they weren't talking a lot about culture. It was more about, you know, the fundamentals, accounting and finance and marketing and all of those things. And so that was the first exposure I really had to it and really where kind of I learned the value and the you know, the
power.
Do you attribute
culture as a key reason for your success? I mean, to grow that much and consistently over that many years, I think the real question is, you know, how did you do that? Is culture one of the big answers?
I would say it's the primary answer, sort of that and a commitment to organic growth. And the two of them kind of, you know, work together. You know, pleased to share that, you know, today 70% of the people that come to work here as a new employee are a referral from a friend or family member that works here. So, you know, by investing in the culture, creating a place where people can be successful, where they feel like they can be themselves, that's judgment-free, where they feel like they're cared for. You know, our number one core value around here, and we have it all over the walls and all over the website, and we really try to bring it to life inside the company, is called putting people first. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's how we've, you know, really started by listening. When I joined the company 24 years ago, our turnover rate here on an annual basis was about 50%. I mean, just imagine how hard it is to build another company of 50% of your people.
Leaky bucket, right?
Yeah, so we started the simple process of just trying to do a better job of listening, asking our employees about their experience. What did they like? What did they not like? Why were they leaving?
So 50% was the culture, would you say it wasn't very good when you started?
I would say it was broken, you know, at that point. The CEO I came to work for at the time had just taken Comp Health, which was the legacy company that started CHG Healthcare, taken it independent from a big healthcare conglomerate. So it was undernourished and undervalued and didn't have its own leadership team and its own management organization. So yeah, it was just undeveloped, you know, I would say. And so he took it independent and raised some capital and really began to focus on building and strengthening it, you know, kind of like we think about building and strengthening our families to raise children that are hardworking and high character and honest and caring. And that was just the way he thought about it, which was unique to me when I started here 24 years ago, because business was much more about the X's and the O's and profits.
Yeah, transactional strategy.
Yeah,
plans,
more transactional and less emotional. And, you know, today we see them kind of blending, you know, blending together. And yes, culture is a very big part of, I think, why we've grown so much. You mentioned that we've received some recognition that's helped build a strong employment brand that attracts people to want to come work for a company where, you know, somebody like me that grew up in Boise, Idaho can find and develop a career like I've developed here. Lots of people. In fact, this morning, just before our call here, I was congratulating employees that have been with us for 15 and 20 years, and I had a Zoom screen full of people. So that was pretty cool.
No, that's so awesome. And the turnaround there, right? Like I said, wow, based on the revenues, but the turnaround from 50% turnover employees to 70% internal referrals for all the growth, and you've grown your employee base 20x.
Right.
I mean, that is a huge turnaround.
Our turnover rate more recently has been about 12% annually. So it's meaningfully improved as we've gotten bigger. You know, I think the key to it, you know, we started asking everybody in the beginning, well, why are you leaving and why are you unhappy and all of this? And nobody would really tell us why. They didn't trust the management regime that had been here before. And so finally, we asked the questions, we published the survey results on the internet, and people would go online and they'd see that the comments that they put in were actually published. And it just began to build this foundation of trust where, you know, it's okay to say what I really feel. There's no worry about retrofusion.
Where did you publish these comments?
We published them on the internet so that all of our employees could see them. You know, we have the first annual CHG employee satisfaction survey and, you know, all of the quantitative results and then every single comment that was published.
Every single comment. Wow, that is courageous.
We published it online. And then, you know, a lot of our employees went online and I mean, you can imagine, they went, wow, these guys have the courage to actually publish all of these results. And they weren't very favorable in the beginning.
Sure. You know?
It was a lot of unhappy people. But we started listening to themes, and then we started taking action. We'd come back to the employee base and say, hey, thank you for your feedback. Here are the top three themes that we heard, and here are the three or four things that we're going to do in response to your feedback to try to build and strengthen the company. And we hope that you'll stick around and grow with us. And so generally that's really
transparency is what I'm hearing. So you really would share the process right in front of the whole team.
Yeah. And then, trying to behave, like you'd behave as a parent when you think about the importance of raising, your children, think about doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way. Of course, everybody has to work hard and there's discipline and disappointment along the way, but trying to build a culture that people choose to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I don't have any long-term contracts with the doctors I work with or the clients I work with or the employees that are here today. Everybody sort of chooses to work together, and that's what makes it really work.
So culture, we call it the invisible hand, right? Because it just, even when you're not in the room, it's working for you. Have any examples of kind of, you've built this great culture where you're seeing those dividends and you're like, wow, that was playing out when I wasn't even there. Kind of like capitalism in the background.
Absolutely. There was an example that really sort of surprised and delighted me the other day. We've really started to focus more on internal leadership development to fund our growth. We try to grow by about 10% more people each year to fuel the growth of the business. Well, if you need 10% more people power, you're going to need 10% more management and leadership. And what we found best is to try to develop that talent internally, as the company's growing. So the other day we started this leadership snapshot series and just invited anybody that might be interested at some point in leadership to come join a Zoom call and begin to learn about it. And we had 300 people inside of the company that raised their hand and said, I'd love to be a leader here at CHG. I want to come learn more about it. I want to join this series and begin to engage in this. And, that's just, I think, a sign of the strength of the commitment and the excitement and people's belief that, this really is a good company and a good culture. We also pride ourselves on making a real difference, in the world. In this year, 2023, we'll work with 15,000 different healthcare clinicians. Most of them are doctors, but we also work with nurses and pharmacists and physical therapists, and we'll help provide healthcare to 29 million people across the country and in about 12 foreign countries around the world. So we're doing some international work too. So people get a real sense of pride that they're a part of, a company that's not only a good place to work where I feel like I can invest my own human capital, but we're doing some good work in the world.
Oh, absolutely. You're healing people ultimately. You're contributing to the process of making people well, and that's got to be tremendously satisfying.
Which was the interest, right, for you?
Yeah, exactly. No, and that helps when you can align a mission towards really having great impact in the world and helping people. But Scott, I can't imagine it's been all up and to the right and all roses, right? You tell us some of the challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced along the journey?
Well, I mean, there's one that just stands out, and it's still pretty fresh, and that was navigating, the first ever global health pandemic
very recently.
And you might remember, it probably impacted your family and your company too, but the entire healthcare system in America shut down for a couple of months. People were afraid to go to the doctor. We couldn't be in close places together, worried about getting sick. Imagine my business, it caused tremendous turmoil. We were worried about all kinds of things. Our clients were canceling. They didn't have patients coming in the door. They didn't need doctors. Doctors weren't earning revenues. Our revenues really slowed down. Collections became difficult. So,
and the environment in the hospitals, I understand, was very difficult.
Oh, it was difficult. And you remember
all the stories were circulating on the media about
time. I mean, it was just a scary time. We were worried about going to the grocery store for a while, and we were hunkering down and staying home and not going to the doctor. And we had Sherry's parents come live with us because we were trying, to protect them. But that created a kind of a unique set of really challenging circumstances for us here in the business. So all of a sudden revenues, here at CHG, were down 20 to 30%. And we were really worried about being able to maintain this great culture and this great staff that we had developed. So, you know, I got everybody together and I said, listen, we need your help. We have got to stomp on the brake harder than we've ever stomped on the brake around here. We need to stop spending money on almost everything so we can continue to fund payroll and benefits for our people. Because I had a lot of conviction. You know, this is a people-powered business.
Right.
It's powered by relationships. And if we did what a lot of my competitors were doing, and a lot of people just in corporate America, which was shedding huge parts of your workforce, 20, 30, 40%.
Absolutely.
Cash and tighten, you know, your belt. I knew that that would really hurt us. And so I resisted. And this was hard. You know, we're professionally private equity backed. We've got smart financial investors, you know, that are our partners here, and they were worried about, you know, this situation. But my team and I really resisted the urge to tighten our belts and let people go.
How much of your cost percentage wise were you able to reduce, and did you have to cut into the people side as well, or how much were you able to do without people, and then did you have to do some people as well?
Yeah, well, I resisted the urge to make any changes because I really wanted to see how it was going to play out. You know, it took longer and was a more challenging situation, I think, than any of us, you know, anticipated at the time. And while my competitors were letting go of 20, 30, and 40% of their workforce, you know, right early in the spring and summer of 2020, you know, we hung on and didn't make any adjustments until October, at which point we did have to reduce the size of our total workforce by about 5%.
But you were able to reduce non-employee costs enough to have a much lighter touch.
By something like 25 or, you know, 30%.
Wow. Because
we renegotiated our rent and we stopped spending money on travel and conventions and, you know, just all everything else that we could delay. We delayed so that we could preserve our resources.
How long did you have to hold your breath? I talked to a lot of leaders and they're like, yeah, we kind of had to hold our breath for several quarters or a year or a year and a half.
I mean, when it arrived on our doorstep in March, I mean, I remember leaving the building thinking this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened because we've sent everybody home. We weren't even equipped to go home at that point. People didn't have laptops and monitors at home. Not everybody had the internet access. And I remember thinking, I'll be back next week. Things will, you know, this will blow through.
And then a week turns to a month, and a month turns to a quarter.
And a quarter turns into a year. And, you know, it still doesn't feel like it's normal. I mean, I think we're approaching a new kind of equilibrium post, pandemic. But, yeah, I was really surprised. And I would say it was paralyzing and very scary for the first couple of quarters. And then, you know, it slowly kind of began, began to move back to normal. People began to start going back to the doctor. But, you know, there's still a lot of pent-up demand in healthcare today because for the last couple of years, people didn't go see their doctor regularly
I could totally imagine that. You're seeing, you know, you and I both studied economics. Right.
Yeah.
Remember the curves, the supply and demand curves and equilibrium. Absolutely. And I remember when people were saying, what's going to happen after this? I'm like, well, this is what we studied. This is what happened back in history when you had these demand shocks and it took years to get back into equilibrium. We're finally living through one. But at least, you know, in our business lifetime, this is the first time we got way out of equilibrium in so many areas in terms of supply. Interesting in terms of healthcare, you know, services.
Totally. And in some ways, you know, the healthcare pandemic exacerbated the shortage. I mean, the hours nurses were working without time off. Once we got through the shutdown, the burnout that physicians faced, you know, has really, the healthcare workforce today is not in as good a healthy shape as it was before the pandemic. People are burned out and tired and want to retire, want to take more control of their life and not just be overworked and tired all the time. But, you know, yeah, so the pandemic, you know, was the biggest challenge that we faced.
Any positives that came out of that? I mean, this, at the risk of going on a tangent, you know, how does telehealth impact your business? And is that a good thing for your employees?
Yeah, it is a good thing for our, you know, employees. I would say that is one of the positives. You know, the greatest lesson that I learned coming through that was just the value of sticking with our employees. I mean, you remember how scary it was. People were worried about their jobs, their ability to pay their mortgage, their ability to make their car payments or even have grocery money. And because we stomped on the brakes so hard and prioritized, you know, payroll and benefits for our people and kept our people on staff, they really rewarded us by sticking around and helping us come out of the pandemic in a really, really healthy, really robust, you know, robust way. You know, some of the other benefits, telehealth is one of them, you know, and, you know, it is a component of our business today. I mean, I don't know, in your family, we utilize it a little bit, but most of us still.
I've just started to, and I got to say, I kind of like it, just like everything else. Just like we're talking right now, right? I would love to come visit you in person, but this is very convenient.
It is very, very convenient. You know, the other benefit I think that my team and I feel is we just have more confidence that we can get through bigger, more challenging things having come through that. There's a feeling of more being more resilient and, you know, moving forward and being able to sort of overcome big challenges that, you know, that come our way. I mean, if we could survive and thrive through this challenge, you know, in this business, I think, you know, it's a strong and healthy company and culture, and we can get through anything together.
Absolutely. I've seen that a lot as well. I mean, it was a shared crisis, but teams came together and survived in different ways. And when you realize that you can survive, you are tighter and stronger.
Yeah. You know, they say, and you don't really know it until you've been through it, but, you know, adversity brings people together and can really strengthen, you know, companies. I mean, when you just have a strong tailwind and everything's moving up and to the right, it feels really good, but you know, it's really sometimes these challenging experiences that sort of bring people closer together and you sort of see what you're made of.
Absolutely. Scott, if you could go back and have a time capsule and talk to Scott 20 years ago, what are some of the things you might share or send a note?
Yeah, you know, I just remember the acute feeling of fear for people's safety, fear of what was going to happen in the business. And having been through an experience like this, I myself am more resilient. I would tell my younger self to have more confidence. Don't be as anxious. Believe in your people. Believe in yourself. You'll get through this. So I try to find an opportunity to get those messages out there earlier to try to reassure people, hey, we've been through something like this before. We know how to run this play. We're going to stomp on the brake and protect our resources to protect you. You know, we were kind of learning that as we were going, and I wish I would have been able to see that before I got there and been able to communicate that. You know, the other benefit, if there was one through the pandemic, is it really gave us the courage to do things that we maybe should have done before. You know, consolidating some divisions, taking strategic advantage of opportunities that we really didn't have a catalyst to move forward with. But, you know, in the middle, I mean, what do they say? Never let a crisis go, you know, unexploited.
That was the phrase that came to mind. But how do you do that when times are good and when you don't necessarily have to? What any ideas and tricks on how to do it?
I think it's really hard, you know, and I think it comes down to, you know, building a layer of trust inside of your company so that you can have an honest conversation with people and say, hey, we're going to make some changes here and they're going to have an impact on you and your team. But these are the things that we're going to do to try to provide opportunity and try to keep you with the company, you know, but we are going to pivot. And, you know, we really earned quite a bit of trust and connection during those tough times. And so now when we want to make other changes that aren't as big, but that might, you know, impact employees, we have a lot of trust that we're working from, which really, really helps us.
So Scott, you've had an incredible run there and you've built culture. And I know you feel passionately about continuing that for your team and for the business. And I know that you've been very thoughtful about transition. Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the latest news. I know you've taken some steps in that direction.
Yeah, you know, I was the beneficiary, Julian, of sort of being raised here as a leader and had the opportunity to grow and develop and move into senior leadership and take over as COO and then CEO. And I'm trying to develop the same opportunity inside the company for the next generation. You know, I've got a terrific young team working for me. I just promoted one of my top executives to be president of
CAC. That seems like you're being very thoughtful and building the bench. And I think that is so rare to have someone in the seat that's actually thinking about the future and planning like that. And you know, boards worry about it and it becomes this unspoken thing that no one really adapts to until it's a last minute scramble. So, you know, I think that's very unique. And you're showing great leadership in doing that. And I I know a lot of our peers admire you for doing that, and I think you've got a lot to share and teach us.
Yeah, you know, and we kind of learned the hard way, like we all do, by making hiring mistakes, bringing people in from the outside that look like they've got all the right stuff and they're going to be a right fit, and it takes quarters and months and years to find out that, oh, they really weren't a good fit, or they didn't have the skills or experience, or they didn't stay with the company. We're much more successful developing talent from inside. You know, my we're in YPO together, and my YPO qualifying company was the founding company here, Comp Health, the one that the physician at the University of Utah started. And I was the president of that company 20 years ago. And I'm proud to tell you that in July, we promoted Brooke Bowers to be president of that division. And she was a recruiter on the front lines when I was the president 20 years ago.
That is awesome.
And so, you know, you have that
longevity and continuity throughout the business.
Growing inside of the company, that's what helps propel all this organic growth, because people stick around and say, man, if Scott could be president here, you know, it looks like he's going to pave the path for me. I want to do it someday.
Absolutely.
So we've had five internal successful successions to president of that division since I ran it 20 years ago, which I'm really proud of.
Oh, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, this has been wonderful. So much to learn here. So much to admire. And I'm so happy for you on all the success. And I'm grateful that you shared it with our listeners.
Well, thank you. It's really fun to be a part of this series of podcasts, and I look forward to tapping into the other interviews and resources that you've developed here. But it's been great to be with you, and thanks for inviting me and including me.
It's been a pleasure, Scott. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks, Julian. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Growth Elevated Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you please follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast player? And we'd be grateful if you recommend it to a friend. If you'd like more resources on how to become a better leader in business, we invite you to visit us at growthelevated.com. We'll be back next week with more insight from another great tech leader. Thank you.